Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Wow, that's a beautiful song. Great sentiment. I hope we truly try each day to be the friend of our Lord, for as that first song said, what a friend we have in Him. Tonight I'd like to look with you at a passage from the Old Testament, if you care to read with me. I'm going to turn back to Joshua, the 14th chapter, and I'm going to begin reading in with verse 6, Joshua 14 and verse 6. You know, there are a lot of characters in the Bible, and it seems as though in many of these instances God is saying, now here's somebody I would really like you to be like. And then on the other hand, there are those in which it's almost as though the Lord is saying, you sure don't want to be like that person. But I think we're looking at one tonight that's truly one of the examples for any of us as we try to be servants of the Lord, as we try to be friends of Jesus, as we just sang. But let's read from Joshua 14, beginning with verse 6. Then the son of Judah drew nigh to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, you know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren, who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you followed the Lord my God fully. Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke those 45 years, from the time that the Lord spoke the word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spake on that day, for you heard on that day the Anakim were there, with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. So Joshua blessed him, and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Well, these are the words of a man named Caleb, not exactly one that we would consider a great character in the sense that a lot of space is given to him, not quite in the same way that we think in terms of men like David and Abraham and some others. And yet we know enough about this man Caleb to know that he truly was one of the great men of God. And I think one of the first things that stands out as you read this passage is what God said about Caleb. Really complimented this man. My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. My servant. What a great compliment it would be to any of us to be considered the servant of God. Any of us should be highly honored and exalted if God were to say to us, as he said to Caleb, Caleb, my servant, if he could say to you and to me, call your name and say, there's my servant, as he did my servant Caleb. Paul felt that way. Paul was glad to think of himself, honored to think of himself as one of God's servants. And he spoke on one occasion when he was writing, we have it recorded in the 27th chapter of Acts, when he said, there stood by me an angel of God, whose I am, whom also I serve. Well, all of us are either servants of God or we're servants of Satan. In the 16th chapter of Romans, Paul said this in verse 17, or rather in Romans 6, in verse 16, his servant ye are, whom ye obey. What Moses, or what Caleb is saying here is, he counted me faithful. And Paul is saying, he counted me his faithful servant, and he gave me these opportunities. And when he was writing to the church at Colossae, in Colossians 3:23, he said, "Whatsoever you do, work heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that from the Lord ye shall receive the recompense of the inheritance." Well, Paul is just saying, whatever you do, whoever you work for, just remember you're really working for the Lord. There may be a man who pays my salary, and I work for him, but in a deeper sense, I'm working for the Lord. And so he says, whatever you do, when you work, you think about it as you're being a servant of the Lord, and you're working for him. Well, Caleb is described as a faithful servant of God. And I hope the Lord can point to us individually and say, there's my servant, servant of the Lord. Well, in what ways was he considered such a great man in God's sight? Well, I think, first of all, because he was faithful when he was given a job. He was given the responsibility of being one of the 12 men, a man chosen from each of the 12 tribes, to spy out the land of Cana. They've been wandering through the wilderness all of that time, and they finally got to a city called Kadesh Barnea, and they decided they wanted to send some spies in and see what it was like. And so these 12 men were selected, and among them were Caleb, and you know Joshua was one of the others. And when they came back, they told great stories about cities with walls and grapes that were clusters of grapes that were so large it took 2 men to carry them. James England and I were talking just a little before the class tonight, and he had said something about what I was going to speak on. I told him, Caleb, and he said, "You're going to preach the grapes sermon tonight." Well, the grapes were just huge clusters. And it is interesting, by the way, if you go to Israel and you get an official guide in Israel, one that is sanctioned by the government, he'll have a little pin on his lapel that depicts 2 men carrying a cluster of grapes on a pole. Well, they came back. The spies came back, and they told about these great cities and the vineyards. But they also said the people who live there are like giants, and we look like grasshoppers compared to them. And so 10 of them said, we can't take the city, but Joshua was faithful. Now, maybe his job at that time wasn't as spectacular as some that others were doing, but he did his job well. He that is faithful in little, the Bible says, will be faithful in much. You're always going to find people who are willing and more than happy to do the big jobs. The kind of jobs that are going to be in the limelight and people will know about it. But when it comes to doing some of the menial little tasks, they're not always that excited about it. I can still remember years ago when I was preaching for the church over in White Bluff. There was a man in the congregation that really wasn't all that active, but he said, when it was time to appoint some elders, he said, "Now, I think I'd be a good elder." Well, he wasn't appointed an elder. He'd never been faithful in the small things, and yet he wanted to do the bigger things, the things that were more noted. But I guess that's human nature to a great deal, but that wasn't true with this man, Caleb. He was willing to do whatever task was given to him. And he was also, I think, a unique person in that he was willing to stay faithful to God regardless of the judgment of the majority. You know, there's always the temptation to wait and see which way the wind is blowing and then go that way. Go the way the majority of folks are going. But Caleb didn't follow. He didn't allow the judgment of the majority of the people to influence him. He knew he was right. He knew that God would be with them. He believed God's promises that they could take that they could take this land. But 10 of them said, "No, we can't do it." And sadly, the people listened to the majority of the spies, and they wouldn't go in. And so, in effect, God said, "All right, if that's the way you feel about it, just turn around and go back out in the wilderness and wander around there for another 40 years. But Caleb stood firm. He knew what was right. And you know, as Christians, we're going to be in the minority so much of the time. We need to know what God's will is and then have the courage to do it, regardless of what the majority says. And you know, when you stop and think about it, so many times the majority are in the wrong. Where was the majority when the flood came? Where was the majority when they were crying, "Crucify Jesus"? And where does the Lord say in Matthew 25, the majority will be in the judgment day? Which road, the broad or the narrow, is the majority following? It's not always a wise thing to follow the majority. Well, it takes a little courage to stand up. And Joshua, Caleb was that kind of man. But he was also a man of great faith. He believed God. He believed the promises that God had given. He said, Jehovah is with us. Fear them not. Now, he didn't deny that there were giants. He didn't deny that there were walled cities. He didn't deny that it would be a tremendous task. But he said, we can do it because God is with us. And he said, let us go up at once. He had the kind of faith that Gideon had. Gideon could take a handful of men and go to war with a great army. He had the kind of faith that Nehemiah had that could rebuild the walls around Jerusalem that had been destroyed. Caleb was a man of great faith. And although the task would be difficult, he knew it could be done. And you know, I think sometimes the church suffers for lack of men who have that kind of faith. So often we get discouraged as a big task and just seemingly impossible, and we say we just can't do that. And so often we forget that it's God, it's not just us, but if we're God's people and we're doing what the Lord says and what His will is, then we can do it. We need to have that kind of courage that Caleb had on this occasion. But not only did he believe in God, he was a man who believed in himself. He didn't argue with Moses at first. When God was talking to Moses and said, I want you to go stand before Pharaoh and bring my people out of Egypt, God had to argue with him. But not Caleb. Caleb believed that he could do it. He believed that he could do it and the people could do it, even in the face of the giants. The others had that grasshopper complex, as sometimes said. And I hope that we don't have that in the Lord's church. A grasshopper complex that just makes us think we can't do the things that the Lord wants us to do. Caleb was an exhorter. I think one of the great things about this congregation is that there's so many exhorters, so many like James England and so many of you, and just encourage each other. And I know you encourage Andrew, and you've encouraged me so many years, and Wendell and others of us here, and each other. We just encourage each other. And oh, how that's needed. Caleb was an encourager, and he felt like they could do it, and he encouraged the people to do it. And then there's that statement made in Numbers, the 14th chapter, it's verse 24, where he said, but my servant Caleb hath followed me fully. In other words, the service that Caleb rendered wasn't half-hearted. He was not a lukewarm servant of God. He was not the kind of servant that was indifferent to what happened. But he was faithful. And what a compliment for God Almighty to say of Caleb, my servant has followed me fully. Think about the time that Elijah stood on Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal. And here were the Israelites and they seemed not to know which way to go. And so he had that contest with the prophets of Baal. And you know, they built the altars. And finally, Elijah said to them, how long go you limping between the two sides? If God is God, if Jehovah is God, follow Him. If Baal is God, follow Him. But don't just go limping along between both sides. You remember that phrase? Somebody said, I've seen a lot of statues of men astride a horse, but I've never seen a statue of a man astride a fence. We don't need to be fence dwellers as far as our service to the Lord's concerned. Caleb was a man who had great courage, and he's fully, with all of his heart, served the Lord. You know what it means to give yourself wholeheartedly to your business? We've got a lot of good professional and businessmen and teachers in this congregation, and you're so successful. And it's doubtless because you give yourself fully to that work. But it means the same thing in the church, to give ourselves fully to it. And isn't that what the Lord said to us in Matthew 6 when He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Put Him first. The Lord's church, the Lord, ought to come first in our lives. But there's something else about this man that I think really stands out, and that's his patience. Caleb was a patient man. He had to wait 40 years before he could finally go into the land that that had been promised to them. He was ready to go 40 years ago. But he turns around. He waits 40 long years, knowing that God would keep his promise and that eventually he would be rewarded. And so he patiently served the Lord for those long years, knowing that God would reward him. He didn't grow weary, as some people do, in well-doing. I think someone mentioned that in a prayer or a lesson this morning about growing weary in well-doing. That wasn't Joshua. He stayed faithful. But sometimes in our lives, isn't it easy for us to grow weary? You know, we start out with such enthusiasm in the Christian life. But then the devil starts throwing those stumbling blocks in front of us and gets hard sometimes. Temptations are strong. And we just get tired. Get tired of teaching. Get tired of preaching. Get tired of coming to church and worship. And get tired of visiting the sick and whatever else you could say. That wasn't the truth with this man. He continued to work hard all the days of his life. And I thought it was also, as you read this, it's just kind of encouraging to realize here's a man who was willing to work with the next generation. Sometimes when we get older, we kind of resent the coming generation and, oh, they don't know what we know and they can't do it. If they just, not Caleb. Caleb was willing to work all those 40 years with the next generation until it was time to enter the promised land. And I think it's great in a congregation like this where there are the younger, and they're the older, and they're those who can help each other along the way. Caleb was a patient man. Man who was willing to work with the next generation. The kind of man who wasn't willing to let others put him on the shelf. And he didn't put himself on the shelf and just decide he wasn't going to do anything anymore. But he stayed faithful. He would stay faithful. And sometimes the church, with all of its weaknesses, we need to remember. And I think this was what Caleb was saying about Israel. With all of the problems that Israel had, they were still the people of God. Brethren, we need to realize the church with all of its problems, and they're going to be problems as long as it's made up of folks like us, isn't it? But the church with all of its problems is still the people of God. And let's not ever be the kind of person who'll cause any problems or church or any kind of division in the church if we can help from doing that. Well, finally, Caleb crossed over the Jordan and he received his reward. And he was blessed of God, just as the Lord said he would bless him. And you know, I just have a feeling, we don't know, but I just have a feeling if old Caleb could stand here tonight and talk to us, he'd recommend faithfulness to God. He would say to us, regardless of what comes, no matter how difficult it gets, you stay faithful to God. Caleb had to make a choice. And you and I have got to make that same choice. The Lord is my shepherd, we sometimes say, quoting the psalmist. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Caleb could say that. Can you say that? Can I say that? Or we can repeat the words, but do we really believe that the Lord is going to shepherd us and take us through the hard times and finally take us home to that eternal home with Him? Our reward. You know, it is interesting to kind of compare the Israelites coming out of Egypt, being in bondage to Pharaoh, and then wandering around for those years, and then crossing the Jordan, and finally reaping their reward. And our lives are something like that. Here we are in the world. It's not Pharaoh we serve, but there's the devil who would be our master. And just like Moses came along and said to the people, I'll lead you out. The Lord Jesus is saying to us, come follow me, and I'll lead you home. And as they crossed over the Jordan, as they crossed over the Red Sea, we likewise cross through the waters of baptism. And then begins the journey that Caleb and Joshua and all of these others traveled. And all of the years that stand before us. And finally we come to our Jordan. And as they crossed over the Jordan into the promised land, we cross over the river of death into our promised land. If we'll be the kind of people Caleb was. My servant, Caleb, hath followed me fully. May God help us to be the kind of people that our God could say that about us. If you're not a Christian, you can begin that journey tonight. If you're willing to confess your faith in Christ and take that big step of repenting of sins and then be buried with Him in baptism. Let Him add you to His family and begin that journey to the promised land. And if there's some of us who've stumbled along the way as Christians, there's always the opportunity to get up and come back. And when the Lord said, you'll confess your sins and ask me to forgive you, I'll forgive you. If you're subject to this wonderful invitation that the Lord extends to us, why don't you accept it tonight while together we stand and as we sing.